Winds will move out of the plains late tomorrow night, bringing the next chance for precipitation to the Midwest by early Wednesday. High temperatures today will range from the upper 70s across the northern portions of Iowa and Wisconsin to the upper 80s across southwestern Missouri. Overnight low temperatures will range from the mid-50s across northern Wisconsin to the mid-60s across southwestern Missouri. The forecast for east central Illinois this afternoon, mostly sunny with a high of 83. The wind light and from the north. Tonight, mostly clear. Look for a low of 55. The wind will be light and from the north this evening, becoming calm later. Tomorrow, sunny with a high of 85. The wind light and out of the southeast. Tomorrow night, mostly clear. The low 63. The wind will be light and from the south. Wednesday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-80s and a south wind from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Expect a low in the upper 60s. The outlook for Thursday, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-80s. At noon central time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana were in the 70s with most locations reporting sunshine. It was 77 degrees at Rockford, O'Hare, Mattoon, and Lafayette, Indiana. 74 degrees at Bloomington. Carbondale checked in with 76 degrees, as did South Bend and Terre Haute. In Indianapolis, it was 78 degrees at noon central time. Willard Airport reported 76 degrees at the top of the hour, a mostly sunny sky, the dew point 60. The relative humidity, 57%, the wind light and variable, the barometric pressure, 30.03, and steady, and at 1239, 77 degrees in Urbana. Photographer Elliot Irwitt loves babies, bear bottoms, and dogs, specifically jumping dogs. In May, the International Center for Photography awarded him a Lifetime Achievement Award. NPR's Susan Stamberg caught up with Elliot Irwitt at a show of his works in New York.
Dogs first. Elliot Irwitt has lots of pictures of them jumping. Dogs jumping.
Whenever I bark, you get a strange reaction from dogs sometimes.
Oh, that's how you got these pictures? You bark at them?
Yes, of course. You have to speak their language.
Do they bark back?
Sometimes they bark back, sometimes they jump. Once one of them peed on my leg as a consequence.
Elliot Irwitt became a professional photographer, commercial and photojournalism, in 1950, and he's still at it. What's the last picture you took?
Well, I had a birthday party yesterday in East Hampton. I think I took a picture of somebody barbecuing.
He'd had turned 83 the day before we spoke at the International Photography Center. Nice party?
Everyone said I had a wonderful time.
Good picture?
I don't know. It's still in the camera.
Elliot Irwitt uses film, mostly black and white. He rarely crops and never manipulates an image electronically. He composes in the camera. Some of his photographs over the years have become classics.
That picture is of my first wife, my first child, and my first cat.
Taken in 1953 in New York City, baby Ellen Irwitt was 6 days old, lying on her belly on the bed, bare-bottomed. The cat, Brutus, sits near her feet. The wife and mother rests at the corner of the bed, gazing lovingly at her child.
It's the only frame on a roll of photographs.
A spontaneous family snapshot, chosen for the groundbreaking 1955 Museum of Modern Art Family of Man photography exhibition, an exercise in international humanism. Irwitt's simple, moving black and white personal family picture has had a long public life.
It's been used as a illustration for the last 57 years. It's put my daughter through college.
Amazing longevity when you consider how many photographs of mothers, babies, and cats there are in this world. The only color picture in the New York exhibit was taken more recently, January 20th, 2009, at one of the inaugural balls. President and Mrs. Obama up on a brightly lit stage, waving at the crowd, and all across the bottom half of the photo, the crowd waves back with a sea of upraised, illuminated smartphones.
It uses an illustration about the use of cameras these days.
Inaugurals, graduations, birthday parties, backyard barbecues, everybody's taking pictures. Too many? The Magnum photographer gives a wry smile.
All you need is a pencil and a piece of paper to write a novel, don't you?
But it won't necessarily be War and Peace.
Exactly. Yeah. And not even with a very good pencil.
Another classic in this show of more than 100 of Irwitt's favorite photographs was made in 1955 on assignment in France. A country road lined on each side with trees, pedaling down it on a bicycle, their backs to us and wearing berets, a man and behind him a little boy, and behind them, tied to the rear of the bike, two long, skinny baguettes.
I did a lot of tourist jobs in the 50s and 60s for airlines, for countries, and that was a picture I took for the French tourist campaign.
So what did they say to you? Go out and take typical pictures of things you see around France, or go find a kid on the back of a bicycle with a baguette and take a picture of him?
No. In those days, there were no focus groups to decide what you should do.
It was up to the photographer. Today, Elliot Irwitt says, ad agencies and clients tell commercial photographers exactly what they want before the camera sees anything. The suits have found a bar they like, say, and want it shot from various angles, period. So it's unlikely that a straight-ahead, spur-of-the-moment baby or baguette will last through the decades, as so many of Irwitt's have. Here's his theory about why some do last.
If your subjects are sort of eternal, you might say, mm-hmm. they'll survive if they're good enough. If they're not dated, they will survive.
Another lasting black and white picture from years back, the fall of 1963, presents one of the darkest moments in this nation's history. Irwitt took the picture at graveside in Arlington National Cemetery. The just widowed Jacqueline Kennedy holds a folded American flag. A dark veil shrouds her agonized face.
The sadness of the widow, I mean, it's all there.
You see her grief, this woman who has been so majestic and so controlled and regal, really. But in this moment, she becomes the grieving one.
And you can see you can even see a tear if you get close, stuck on the veil.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Now, how, I suppose this is a silly question for a professional photographer, but is there something voyeuristic here of getting that close at that moment of deep, deep emotion?
It's a historic event. I don't think it's voyeurism. Mm-hmm. Covering a historic event is perfectly legitimate. It's not sneaking into somebody's boudoir.
Mm-hmm. But in our looking at it this many years later, are we invading privacy that should belong to her at such a moment?
I don't think so. These people belong to history, and I think not to record that if you have the opportunity would be wrong.
Elliot Irwitt. His pictures are on exhibit at the International Center of Photography in New York through August 28th. The day after we spoke, he went off to Scotland on assignment for a whiskey company. Just get atmosphere, they told him. When you're Elliot Irwitt, you get lucky sometimes. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News.
You can see some of Elliot Irwitt's photographs, including the baguette on a bike, at npr.org. Black and white squares for smartphones are popping up in magazines, business cards, and now on real estate signs. Jenna Dooley reports.
This may be the new... Potential homebuyers need only to zap the so-called QR code on a for sale sign, and they're instantly taken inside the home through their smartphone. QR is short for quick response, and it's that technology that realtors hope sell homes in a recovering market. You may be familiar with the black and white square boxes with the scrambled design. If not, you soon will be.
This is going to replace the old flyer box in the front yard.
Don Cave with Coldwell Banker Honig Bell in Springfield says the company has been adding QR codes to its yard signs for the past month. Of their 135 listings, one-third now include a QR code.
And one of the listings that I put it on, they were really adamant. They wanted a flyer box, really wanted a flyer box. And I kept telling them, you know, flyer boxes don't always sell the house. Well, when I put the QR code out there, he is really happy now, because now he actually hit his QR code, he scanned it. He actually sent it to his email, and then he took it to his email and sent it to everybody on his distribution list. So he sent his house out to thousands of people.
Smartphone users must download a free app enabling the phone to scan QR codes. Then they stand as far as 10 feet from the black and white box, and they're taken to the realtor's site or the home's unique listing page. It's good business for QR code makers, too. Dave Ablin is the director of new business development at Iris Mobile, based in Rolling Meadows. The company is supplying the technology to Coldwell Banker sites around the state. He says QR codes have been around for years, but only now are being used for mobile phones in the United States.
The technology is growing as more and more people purchase smartphones and download that app on their phone.
It's still early for realtors to know how well QR codes are working and if they're selling homes. Ablin says the tangible advantage to QR coding is that mobile visits are trackable and can be a way to get more information from consumers.
Because if people are requesting to send information to their phone, you've got their phone number. The companies or the real estate agents could text them back and say, oh, I noticed you were interested in, you know, 123 Main Street. Can I show it to you? Can I schedule an appointment? You know, can I give you more information? So it allows, let's just say specifically for the real estate industry, it captures their lead. And to that's worth a lot of money. That's very powerful.
Ablin adds there are best practices, and consumers should be able to opt in first in order to give out their information. Laura Donovan is with GoWeb One, based in Springfield. She helps her clients find the best way to market their product or idea.
People are really seeing these pop up in their everyday life, and if they can make that work for their own business, then I think it's showing that they're innovative in their own marketing prospects themselves, so to get them one step ahead of competitors to use this kind of medium.
So what's down the road for QR codes? Donovan says QR coding in the U.S. for real estate signs is just the beginning.
So if you're walking through a cemetery of your loved ones and you can scan and find out, you know, what was that person's life like? So that's a really kind of, touchy subject, but it's kind of showing it's a really limitless avenue to share information.
For realtor Don Cave, the next step is getting the message out wherever the consumer is.
So at some point, I'm looking that, you know, they could be still sitting in their car, and, you know, I'd love to see the day the technology is when they drive by, it'll just automatically tell them about the house. And I know that's coming. That's on the cutting edge.
Until that happens, be careful scanning from the road, because could lead to... I'm